Gather around the radio, boys and girls, because it's story time with Uncle Chris. Today's story, hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19, a lesson in study quality. Source for this, by the way, is Contagion Live. Yeah, Contagion Live. Yeah, sure, I subscribe. Doesn't everyone? Oh, and you don't know what you're missing. I've also posted this article on our Facebook page because at the end it has a bunch of links to go further into what Jason Gallagher writes about here. Jason's an active member of the Society of Infectious Disease Pharmacists. He references some of the studies, and you can study the studies in your spare time. He writes, it's a short article, I'm just going to read it in its entirety. Of all the issues that coronavirus disease 2019 has unmasked, one of the biggest may be the power of wishful thinking. Perhaps one of the better defined examples of this has been the different interpretations on the utility of hydroxychloroquine, an agent that's been polarized in bizarre ways. Even before the first small study of hydroxychloroquine for COVID-19 was published, hydroxychloroquine was getting attention from clinicians facing early outbreaks. There was a reason for hope, since both hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine have in vitro activity against SARS-CoV-2. They are generally well tolerated, and hydroxychloroquine is widely available in the U.S. But in vitro activity does not always predict clinical success. The agents have problematic pharmacokinetics, and the record of effectively treating respiratory viruses with antiviral therapies is unimpressive. Nevertheless, it was worth a look. The first widely supported study started a whirlwind of effects with which that we are still dealing. It was a report by Galtred and colleagues of Virologic Outcomes of 26 patients who received hydroxychloroquine compared to 16 who were treated at another hospital and did not. Six patients also received azithromycin to prevent bacterial superinfection were included, and these had the most rapid virologic response. No clinical outcomes were reported, though, of the six patients excluded from analysis. Three were transferred to ICU, another one died. However, this was enough to capture the interest of a scared public and desperate healthcare professionals looking for any possible therapy. As use increased, retrospective cohort studies followed, reporting variable results. Since more severely ill patients were often more likely to receive hydroxychloroquine with or without azithromycin, the results of non-randomized studies were highly dependent on the quality of analysis performed. Some found benefit, more found no effect, and some suggested harm. Meanwhile, the way the drug was politicized was well underway. The announcement by the president that the Galtred results could be, quote, a game changer, drove prescriptions for hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin to the point of shortages and turned a 70-year-old 18-letter drug into a polarizing household topic. The publication of a Lancet paper that concluded that the drugs were actually harmful was cheered by one side, then derided by the other as after it was retracted. Hydroxychloroquine was stuck in the middle. Randomized blinded clinical trials have since been performed that, in my mind, have put this issue to rest, at least scientifically. The recovery trial in the UK found no difference in mortality between hydroxychloroquine and usual care in over 4,600 hospitalized patients. Two randomized studies in less severely ill patients found no difference between groups, and perhaps the most damning, a study of hydroxychloroquine as post-exposure prophylaxis did not prevent COVID-19 developing any better than placebo. As the pandemic has progressed, so has our knowledge about COVID-19 therapy. Unfortunately, the early excitement about hydroxychloroquine has not been warranted, and the time has come to abandon it and move on to explore other possible therapies. At this point, the threshold for the new data evaluating hydroxychloroquine must be raised to prospective randomized blinded studies designed to remove the bias that non-randomized studies inherently create, while we need to revert to using retrospective studies for the hypothesis generation for which they are intended. Again, that was an article from Contagion Live by Jason Gallagher. We put a link over to our website as well, along with our Facebook page. So you can see at the bottom of the article, there are links to the studies that Jason referred to in this article. It's called Science, by the way. Rather sad that it bothers so many people.